Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2002. The New Extremists.
Hello. I've been thinking more about the things we discussed last week. I tried to tie several very important threads together, each of which could have used much more discussion than we devoted to all of them together. I'm afraid I didn't do a thorough enough job. In future broadcasts, we'll discuss each of these extremely urgent subjects repeatedly. I want to begin today's broadcast, however, with a brief recap of what we talked about last week. I pointed out that there is a major, long-term, concerted effort by the Jewish entertainment media and the Jewish fashion industry to sexualize our children prematurely, to cause little white girls 10 or 11 or 12 years old to behave sexually like 20-year-olds. I used as examples 6-year-old JonBenet Ramsey, murdered by an unknown person more than 5 years ago, and 13-year-old Christina Long, murdered last month by an illegal alien from Brazil. Both of these little girls were dressing and behaving like women much older than they. Those, of course, are exceptional cases. Most little girls don't get murdered. Most 13-year-old white girls don't meet non-whites in shopping malls for sex. But virtually all little girls are subjected to a non-stop flood of Jewish propaganda through television entertainment and TV and magazine advertising designed to make them act older than their age, designed to confuse them about their own racial identity, designed to make them believe that it's cool to have sex with non-whites, designed to steal their childhood from them, and, of course, designed to get them and their parents to spend money on the fashions the Jews present to them. And this flood of propaganda is having an effect, a big effect, on our little girls, and not just in getting them to spend money. It is changing their attitudes and behavior. It is persuading them to act older and more sophisticated than they really are, and to become more sexually active. It is making them much more receptive to sexual approaches from non-whites. It is stealing their childhood from them, and it is stealing them from their own people, from their own race. If you are the parent of a young girl, you know this is true. You have seen it with your own eyes. I told you last week that this is a two-pronged attack on our children, with the media and the children's fashion industry collaborating in the effort. If you've listened to many of my broadcasts, you've certainly heard me talk about the Jewish control of the mass media, naming names. When our children are the target of the media, it's the entertainment media that are important, since most children these days have no interest in news. The entertainment medium with the most influence on white teenagers is MTV, and for sub-teens, it is Nickelodeon. Both are owned by the Jew Sumner Redstone, born Murray Rothstein, who also owns CBS. But Jews exercise a similar degree of control over every major entertainment medium, whether it's part of Michael Eisner's Disney empire, or a Hollywood motion picture studio, or a popular music label. And the same Jewish control is found in children's fashions. Jews have long held a dominant position in the garment industry in this country. The mass media and the garment industry were the first two industries they took over when they began arriving in this country in large numbers at the beginning of the 20th century. Last week, I mentioned a few names of leading Jews in the children's garment industry: Leslie Wexner, Donald Fisher, Irving Teitelbaum, Millard Drexler, Michael Raden, Calvin Klein. But it's easy for you to explore this subject for yourself. The Jews are not so secretive and defensive about their control of the garment industry as they are about their control of the mass media. This matter of the Jewish assault on our children, the concerted Jewish effort to prematurely sexualize and alienate our little girls, is an extremely important matter. But I should confess that my principal reason for bringing it up last week is that I wanted to catch the attention of many parents who need to be approached at a personal level, parents who just don't otherwise care much about what is happening to their government or other parts of their society, but who have seen the effects of this Jewish assault on their children and are concerned about it. As I said, this assault on our children is extremely important, but the other things we discussed last week actually are much more urgent and need to be dealt with first. I pointed out last week that what the Jews are doing to our children should be a concern of any government agency with a responsibility for the security of our people. And I mentioned the Federal Bureau of Investigation in particular. And I pointed out that not only is this deliberate assault on our children not likely to become an FBI concern, but that, in fact, the FBI is moving in the opposite direction. The new direction for the FBI is to be concerned with anyone, like me, who is opposed to this assault on our children. Anyone who exposes to the public the Jewish nature of this assault. Anyone who urges that something be done to counter this assault. I am. We are the new extremists the FBI is becoming concerned with. That's the extremely urgent subject I want to discuss with you today. If you've been keeping up with the news or listening to my earlier broadcasts, you are aware that the Jews are complaining about their precipitous loss of popularity around the world. Anti-Jewish feeling has risen 50% in the United States in the past 4 years. That's certainly encouraging if it's really true. Of course, the Jews blame it all on bigotry and refuse even to consider that their own behavior might have something to do with it. Well, they've always been that way, never accepting blame for anything they do. But 30 or 40 years ago, seeing the worldwide upsurge in hostility against them, they probably would have responded by deciding to keep a lower profile for a while. But not now. With their control of the Bush government and the mass media in the United States, they are so confident that they can deal with any threat that instead of minimizing provocations for a while, they are moving aggressively ahead with their campaign to gain total control. They already control the lemmings through the media, and their grip on the lemmings will remain secure as long as they retain their media control and keep the ball games coming, and of course as long as the shopping malls stay full. And they already have controlled the politicians for a long time. They control them at least as much in the Bush government as they did in the Clinton government. As long as they can keep intelligent, courageous, and honest patriots out of the government, and they've been pretty successful at that, they can retain their control of the government too. An especially worrisome aspect of this governmental control is the Jews' infiltration and subversion of our law enforcement agencies. They are in the process now of completing their subversion of the FBI, and the effects of that are evident. There's been much controversy in recent weeks about why the FBI didn't respond to warnings about a planned Al-Qaeda attack before September 11th. Conspiracy-minded people believe that the failure of the FBI to respond to the abundant evidence that something nasty was being planned was due to a decision in the Bush government to let the September 11th attack take place and then use it as an excuse to launch a war against the Jews' enemies in the Middle East. Maybe. But I'm more inclined to believe that the FBI's failure to respond to warnings of a coming attack was due to bureaucratic inefficiency rather than to a deliberate decision to let the attack take place. Our bureaucrats these days just wouldn't take the risk of being blamed for something like that. What is beyond dispute, however, is that last year the FBI did break up a huge Israeli espionage operation against the United States and then deliberately let some 200 Israeli espionage agents quietly go home instead of prosecuting them. The decision to do that, undoubtedly, was made at the highest levels in the Bush government. But the FBI's willingness to go along with that decision is very disturbing. I can understand a nutcase religious fanatic like Attorney General John Ashcroft going along because he believes that the Jews are God's chosen people and must not be opposed or criticized. But there should have been strong resistance inside the FBI itself. And then there's the case of the anthrax terrorism. There's strong evidence that that was done by a Jew with Zionist connections in an attempt to cast suspicion on Muslims and generate public hostility against them. And almost certainly the FBI knows who it was. But there has been no arrest. And I'm beginning to suspect that there won't be an arrest for the same reason that the Israeli espionage agents all were turned loose. That's an extremely worrisome matter, indicating a terminal degree of corruption in the FBI. Last week, I read you portions of an address FBI Director Robert Mueller gave to a meeting of leaders of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith on May 7th. Mueller spoke of a growing partnership between the ADL and the FBI and of how much he appreciated the training and education the ADL had been providing for FBI agents. He spoke of how the ADL was helping the FBI understand the changing nature of the terrorist threats facing America and was providing information on extremism and hate crime. Mueller's May 7th address to the ADL was phrased in the sort of bureaucratic double talk that is standard for government officials these days. On the surface, nothing very radical or alarming to a naive listener. But I explained to you the real meaning of his remarks. The real meaning of a partnership between the ADL and the FBI, and of the FBI's willingness to accept the ADL's judgment on the changing nature of terrorist threats, is that the FBI will devote less of its resources to the investigation of actual criminal activity and more of its resources to helping the ADL counter the people the ADL considers extremists, which is to say, people who have views the ADL labels extreme. Well, on May 31st, a joint FBI-ADL conference was held at the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia. Last week, on June 6th, the ADL issued a press release from its New York headquarters bragging about the May 31st conference and confirming my interpretation of Robert Mueller's May 7th address to the ADL. The press release stresses the need for the FBI to fight extremism and terrorism, usually lumping the two isms together as if they're pretty much the same, as if having views the ADL considers extreme is paramount to being a terrorist. Extremism, of course, is absolutely no business of the government in a free country. We're entitled to hold views as extreme as we want, without being investigated or harassed. I'll read to you from the press release the words of the ADL's national director, Abraham Foxman. I quote, "In order to assess threats against the United States, law enforcement must have credible information about domestic and foreign extremists whose rhetoric promotes violence. Through our network of regional offices and our experts in the field, ADL is uniquely suited to aid in the war against terrorism. This conference was an opportunity for law enforcement and extremism watchdogs to compare notes and forge alliances. End of quote. Did you catch that? The new threat to America comes from rhetoric, not from truck bombs or hijacked airliners or anthrax, but from rhetoric. From words. I'll interpret for you again. Abe Foxman is telling the FBI that the real danger to America is not from actual terrorists, but from people whose views the ADL considers extreme and whose words might promote violence. And through the ADL's network of regional offices and experts in the field, the Jewish organization will keep the FBI informed about who's an extremist. The ADL's network is a spy network. For years, they've been sending out their experts in the field to steal people's curbside trash and see what information they could glean from it. When the ADL's regional offices in Los Angeles and San Francisco were raided by police armed with search warrants in 1993, and more than 12,000 stolen police files were found, there were reports in the Los Angeles Times and the San Francisco Chronicle. The Los Angeles Times carried a report on the raids in its April 9, 1993 issue that also gave information about some of the ADL's other spying operations, such as collecting the curbside trash of people it didn't like, people it would label extremists. What's surprising about that is that there were any news reports at all. No major news medium today ever refers to the ADL as a criminal organization or a spy organization, but only as a respected civil rights organization. Fortunately, among the stolen police files found in the ADL's offices in 1993, were those of some fairly prominent people who had enough money to sue the ADL for invasion of their privacy. One of them was a former congressman. Jewish pressure on the prosecutor's office in California was able to kill the criminal charges against the ADL, but the civil suits kept the matter alive for years, and the ADL eventually had to pay out several $100,000 to the plaintiffs. The news on the suits and the payments always was scanty, but it's available to anyone who is really interested. Certainly, the FBI and FBI Director Robert Mueller and Attorney General John Ashcroft know about it, and they also know about the ADL's involvement with Jewish organized crime figures such as Mo Dalitz and Mark Rich. I'll summarize again. The ADL always has wanted to silence people it considers extremists, which is to say, people whose views it doesn't like. In the past, the ADL would spy on these people and either blackmail them or apply economic or political pressure to shut them up. Now, it's enlisting the FBI to do its spying on extremists for it. That is horrifying and frightening. But we all should have seen it coming. We've had an Alice in Wonderland government in Washington for the last decade at least. When we have an FBI that catches Israeli espionage agents and then turns them loose because to prosecute them would embarrass Israel, we all should understand that we're in serious trouble. When the FBI won't arrest a Jewish fanatic sending out anthrax-infected letters because it might embarrass Israel, we're all in even worse trouble. And when the FBI begins investigating and harassing citizens for being extremists, it's time for an armed uprising. You know, I'm oversimplifying a little. It's not just that the people in the Bush government don't want to embarrass Israel. They also don't want to embarrass themselves. They've all compromised themselves so thoroughly by collaborating with the Jews against America's interests, against the freedom of American citizens, that they undoubtedly feel that they have a tiger by the tail now and dare not let go. And now they are taking the next step. Now the FBI is moving to do the anti-American things that the ADL used to have to do by itself. Now the ADL will tell the FBI who is an extremist whose rhetoric might promote violence, and the FBI will then use its own muscle against the offender. Let me tell you something. The sort of rhetoric we've heard recently from FBI Director Robert Mueller and ADL National Director Abe Foxman, the rhetoric that I've quoted verbatim from their public statements today and last week, ought to promote violence if there were any real patriots listening. Do you understand what I'm saying? These FBI and ADL people have been talking about taking our freedom away, and that sort of talk ought to be responded to in a forceful way. And I'll tell you something else. Just for saying what I've said to you today, they will label me an extremist whose rhetoric might promote violence. And I really don't care. I'm not trying to promote any specific sort of violence now. But there certainly will be violence before we've straightened things out in this country. Things have gone much too far already. The longer we wait, the more violent the straightening out will be. You know, I've just been watching the news about this fellow, Jose Padilla, that they've accused of wanting to set off a so-called dirty bomb in Washington. He's being held now by the Army, and almost certainly never will be turned over to a civilian court for trial because he hasn't actually done anything or even made a plan to do anything. The government is trying to force him to talk about his Muslim friends now, threatening him with a court-martial and a summary execution, and the media are talking about his non-existent plan to bomb Washington in order to spook the lemmings and persuade them to give up a little more freedom. One thing you certainly can count on is dirty bombs, that is, radioactive bombs, being used in this country in the future, because they're so easy to prepare and use and can cause such enormous damage. I wrote in detail about the use of dirty bombs in America way back in 1975 in my first novel, The Turner Diaries. And you may be sure that when the first dirty bomb actually is used here, the ADL will be saying that I promoted it and that my novel was a blueprint for it, just as they blamed the Oklahoma City bombing on me. Well, one expects self-serving accusations of that sort from the ADL and other Jewish organizations. But now, with the FBI ready to take its direction from the ADL, such accusations become really dangerous. And not just for me, for everyone who refuses to live like a slave and keep his mouth shut lest he be labeled an extremist. Listen, I don't want any listener to go out and start shooting government officials now, because nothing that a single angry patriot can do by himself will help our situation. But I do want every serious and responsible listener to be absolutely sure that everything I've been telling you is true. I want you to be absolutely sure that the situation is as dangerous as I have told you it is. I want you to check the facts for yourself. Everything that I've told you today and last week is available from reliable sources on the Internet. The news reports about the 1993 raids on the ADL's offices and about other criminal activity by the ADL. The text of FBI Director Robert Mueller's May 7th address to the ADL. And the text of ADL National Director Abe Foxman's press release that I read to you a few minutes ago. Not to mention the facts of the Jewish control of the mass media and of the children's fashion industry and of Christine Long's murder. And these things are just for starters. Every serious patriot needs to be informed. He needs to understand the situation we're in. He needs to know who America's enemies are and what they're doing. I'll continue doing everything I can to inform you every week. But I don't expect serious patriots to be like lemmings and simply believe whatever they're told. I expect them to be skeptical and to check things out for themselves, because only by being sure that we're right and that we know what we're talking about can we persuade others and gain the strength to rid our country and our race of this terrible threat to our freedom and to our very existence. Thanks for being with me again today.